And our Bible reads in Titus 2:11, Paul wrote to Titus and said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." And it does something. It teaches us. He said that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? So God has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and Christ came down. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want you to know on record that we want you to become a Christian. We want you to be as we are, those that are members of the Lord's body, and we want you to become a Christian. It's the preacher's responsibility to give you those instructions from God how one become a Christian. Amen? If you're here this morning and you your first time visiting with us here at Highland Heights, what you are experiencing is New Testament worship. What we sing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments, you notice in the five acts of worship, we pray to God, we sing praises, we take communion, we give back to God that which God has blessed us with, a portion of that, and then we preach the apostles' doctrine from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And so I hope you're here this morning. You've come, you are excited to be here as I am this morning. Amen. And so I want to pose us with a question this morning. What if you were on trial facing the death penalty? What if you, including myself, we were on trial and you're facing the death penalty? I want you to picture in your mind, if you can, a courtroom scene where you have the prosecuting attorney, you have the defense attorney, you have the judge, and you are the one that's on trial. And you say, "Brother Stroud, what am I on trial for?" Well, let's go to the Bible. In Romans 3:23, you're on trial because Paul let the Romans know that each of us on trial. Romans 3:23, the Bible says what?
"For all have sinned,"
yeah,
"and come short of the glory of God."
So your reason for being on trial is because you have sinned. It's because I have sinned. We are all on trial because of that. And in that courtroom, if you would, you know that there's a judge. And we need to understand, get from Romans 6:23, that you are on trial and you are facing the death penalty. Now, I work in an environment where we have those that are incarcerated, and we're not careful. Sometimes people want to commit suicide rather than go to trial. Sometimes, depending on how you are living, you could be living a suicidal life even though you're a Christian. But in Romans 6:23, the Bible says, Paul continuing with the Romans says, for what?
"For the wages of sin is death."
Yeah.
"But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
So now, understand this, that the payment, the word wages mean the payment for sin is death. I'm not talking about physical death. We all gonna die if Christ don't come before us. But the Bible lets us know there's another type of death I'm talking about this morning. Get from me Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 13. Sometimes we don't realize that we're thinking about, I'm not talking about a physical death, because in Revelation 20 and verse number 13, Brother Wayne, what does the Bible say?
"And the sea gave up the dead which were in it."
Yeah.
"And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them."
So now, all of us gonna die. We're going to die a physical death. Let me get there with you, Brother Wayne. And the Revelator wrote, John wrote, that the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. Those that are physically dead. Then he said, those that died outside of Christ. He said, death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. He said, and then
every man according to their works.
But the death I'm talking about is verse 14.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Watch this.
This is the second death.
Yeah. There's a second death. We all going to die once. Amen. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Yeah. And after that, we got to be judged. But what I'm talking about, you are on trial for sins that we all have committed. And we understand that if I don't get off, if I'm found guilty, I'm going to die again. And the word death, by definition, simply means separation. When we die the first time, our spirit separates from our body. You know, we go to funerals and then all you find, that's the body, but the spirit goes somewhere else, back to God. But our soul will live somewhere forever. Let me share that in the Bible. Go to Ecclesiastes, Brother Wayne. I don't want to assume that I'm sharing things that may not be familiar with some. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse number 5. Now, this is when we die physically. Ecclesiastes 12 and 5, what does the Bible say?
Also, when they shall be afraid of
verse 7. I'm looking at 5, but I'm saying 5, but I'm looking at 7.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, verse 7.
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was.
Yeah.
And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
So understand this, that we know we were made from dust. And so Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, he said, understand this here, when you die, your body goes back to the earth where it came from. Your spirit returns to God who gave you that spirit. But your soul is going to live somewhere forever. Yeah, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, Brother Wayne. Don't want to make the assumption that people know what the Lord has said in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Yeah.
And I pray, God, your whole spirit.
No, notice what Paul said. I pray, first of all, for your spirit.
And soul.
And your soul.
And body.
And your body.
Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all of us have a spirit. A spirit is what is in you. It what animates you. All of us have different spirits. We have different personalities. So Paul reminded us, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your spirit. I'm going to pray for your soul that's going to live somewhere. And also I'm going to pray for your body. Man is a trichotomy. Yeah. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. But what you on trial for this morning, each of us, is about not the spirit that's going to, as the Ecclesiastes writer says, going to go back to God who gave you your spirit, and not your body, because when you die, the body's going to go back to the earth, but it's the soul that's going to live somewhere forever. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on trial. And I'm facing the spiritual death penalty. Now, first of all, I want to know about the judge. Get from Hebrews 12:23. I want to know about the judge who is proceeding over my case. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 and verse number 23, to the General Assembly
and the church of the firstborn,
which are written
in heaven,
yeah,
and to God the judge of all,
okay,
and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Now, the Bible says that God is the judge of all. God is not only the judge in each of our cases, but now remember this, God is also our God. It's one thing when you have a person as your judge, but it's another thing when that judge is also God. Yeah. So I'm not just in front of any old judge. I'm in front of a judge who is also my God. And then you have the judge sitting, God looking down, and I'm having to have my attorney present my case before the judge. And also on the other side, Brother Wayne, get for me Revelation 12 and 9, you have the prosecuting attorney. Yeah. The one that want to see you go to hell. Yeah. The one that want to see you lost. He is a prosecuting attorney. In Revelation 12 and 9, the Bible says,
and the great dragon was cast out.
Okay.
That old serpent called the devil.
Yeah.
And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So you got to understand now that the word devil by definition means an accuser. He's one to say that you are guilty of sin. He's trying to prosecute you. Yeah, and we have a case, get from me, Job 2 and 9, that we need to understand that when we sin, the prosecuting attorney is trying to tell the judge of all the sins you've done. Yeah. He's going to accuse you. I know he's sinned. I've seen him sinning. And sometimes we don't realize that the prosecuting attorney is trying to tell the judge that I know this guy's sin. In Job 2 and 9, the Bible talks, listen to the prosecuting attorney.
Then said his wife unto him.
Job 1 and 9. Excuse me, Brother Wayne. That's me. Job 1 and 9.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught?
Okay. Notice the prosecuting attorney. He said, now, is it that Job, or look at yourself, if the devil was to say, now, the reason he fear you is for a reason. He fear you for not. Read.
Has not thou made a hedge about him,
uh-huh,
and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side?
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
Now, read.
But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.
Now, what the devil is saying to the judge, what he said to God in this case, is that the only reason that he's faithful to you is because you're doing good for him. Yeah, and sometimes some of us, the only time we are faithful when things are going, yeah. But then we hit some turbulence in our lives. Challenges come up. Issues come up. Yeah. Sicknesses come up. And if we're not careful, we'll do what Job said. The only reason he's serving you, Lord, is because things are going good with him. Job said, I tell you what, Lord. He said, let me touch him.
Satan said.
Let me touch him. And I guarantee you, he'll stop being faithful. Stop coming to church faithfully. Stop giving faithfully. Yeah, all you got to do is let me touch him. But we got to understand that the devil, God gives him permission to touch us. Get from Acts 10, 38. Yeah. God sometimes, just as he did with Job ain't no isolated case. God sometimes allows the devil to get busy with all of us. Amen, sometimes. And in Acts 10:38, The Bible says how God
anointed Jesus of Nazareth,
okay,
with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Yeah.
Who went about doing good.
Now, Jesus went about doing good, and notice what some of the good he did was. Read.
And healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Uh-huh.
For God was with him.
So that tells us that sometimes Jesus intervenes in our lives because the devil has oppressed us. Yeah, now sometimes that oppression, I say, it can be challenges in our lives. Sometimes it can be finance in our lives. Sometimes we are challenged by our relationship that we have in our lives. And sometimes, as I'm learning, I'm getting older, sometimes God allows the devil to touch us physically and we suffer pain. And I don't know about you, but me and pain ain't best friends. Yeah, I ain't gonna never be his friend, and he ain't gonna never be my friend, and I want him. I'm allergic to him, and I want him to stay as far away from me as he can. Yeah. But sometimes he's allowed the prosecuting attorney to afflict us, and sometimes it's physical in nature. Remember, in Job's case, he afflicted Job from the top of his head. God gave him permission to afflict him. So sometimes when we're going through things, God allows for us to go through things. Amen. Yeah. But we have to remember that God is not one that will, if God is allowing the temptation, God won't allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But then in the courtroom, we have our defense attorney, Brother Wayne, 1 John 2 and verse number 1. Yeah, you got somebody representing you. And John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 1, he said, My little children, yeah,
these things write I unto you,
uh-huh,
that ye sin not.
Now, he asked that you sin not.
And if any man sin,
yeah,
we have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
So now, the word advocate means like a legal, a person who argues for the cause of another person in a court of law. In other words, it's like having a defense attorney. Christ is our defense attorney, and he's representing us with the Father, and he knows that the judge is a righteous judge, and the Father is righteous. So we got an attorney. Is trying to represent us in our trial. And understand this here. If the attorney don't get you off, when life is over, and when God or Jesus comes to judge the world, you're going to get that death penalty that you don't want to see. And so I need to understand that anything that we go through, understand that Christ went through it first. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Wayne, right quick, and then I'm going to go to Matthew 26. I just want to line this up in Hebrews chapter 3 so we'll understand that, you know, sometimes you have a person that's representing you and they don't know what you're going through. You know, you say, man, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Wayne, and I said 3, I meant 4. And verse number 14, he says, Seeing then
that we have a great high priest.
That's our lawyer.
That is passed into the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Now, he said Jesus is that person. But now, notice what the person we got representing us, verse 15 tells us, For we have not a high priest yeah,
which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yeah.
But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Now he says that Jesus, the one who's representing us, the Bible says it's not like he haven't been touched with all with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, we all have weaknesses: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the Bible says in all points, like as we are. However, you got a person representing you who is righteous. We got to judge as righteous. But also we got to, not only a judge as righteous, but I was talking about the lawyer as righteous. But also we have a lawyer who's going to trial. Get from it, Matthew 26. Yeah. You got a person that that's representing you. He's been in trial. He's gone to trial. Matthew 26 and verse number 57. Matthew 26, 57. Jesus was on trial.
But all this was done, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end.
See, sometimes when you're on trial, you know, if you're not careful, you will be like Peter was one of Jesus' closest. But when Jesus went on trial, the Bible said Peter simply found him a quiet spot and just sat there to see what was going to happen. We have people in our lives that are supposed to be close to us. And sometimes what they do is just sit around to see the end. Yeah. And hopefully we don't have Christians here. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. So hopefully we don't have those that that see, like Peter, just find him a seat. And I'm just going to sit around. You know I'm going through stuff. You know I'm having problems. You know I'm having issues in my life. And all you do is just sit there to see what's going to happen. Yeah. And the Bible said, Now the chief priests
and elders and all the council saw false witness against Jesus put him to death.
Yeah. What they wanted to do was to put Christ to death. And I want to say to each of us, the gospel message is the single most important event in the life of a Christian. See, when you stop realizing what Christ did, get from Romans 1 Corinthians 15, Brother Wayne. Yeah, and I'm going to bring this case, hopefully, to a close and let us see what the judge is going to rule. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, you read it when we took the Lord's Supper, but the Bible is worth repeating. He said, moreover, brethren,
I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand.
So now understand this here. This message is the single most important event in the life of a Christian, because this is where you ought to get your motivation. This is for where I get my desire. This is where I get what I need from. It's from 1 Corinthians 15. He said, by which also
you are saved
if
you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
So, and the word memory means you got to hold on. When you're going through stuff, I got to remember that Christ, the Bible says, that gospel message, what Christ did for me, he says, unless your belief is in vain. And then Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all
that which I also received,
how
that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
So what now? Read, go ahead.
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
So understand this. I'm on trial, but I find out something about the person representing me. That's called the gospel. I need to realize what Jesus did for me. The Bible says he died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So I got to realize that the person that's representing me is the person that the attorney that I have, and my defense attorney is none other than Jesus the Christ. Now give for me Romans 4:24, the scripture that was read in our hearing. Yeah. So if you are a Christian, now I'm talking to you, and then I'm going to talk to those that are not Christians, that don't realize or have not realized that they're walking toward not a physical death, but a spiritual death. But in Romans 4:24, Brother Wayne, the Bible said, but for us.
But for us also.
Now he's talking about Christians.
To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead.
Now the Bible says, but for us, talking about Christians. He says, to whom it was imputed. In other words, imputed means take this on account. He said, if we believe that Jesus raised up from the dead. In other words, I have to carry in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That is the gospel message. And notice what God did. Who delivered us.
Who was delivered for our offenses.
Three.
And was raised again for our justification.
So now, the Bible says, and Paul was talking about a legal case in this text. He said, what happened if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? What you need to believe also is that God handed him over. And the word offenses means sins or wrongs done by one's actions. So Jesus was handed over. And he was raised from the dead for our justification. We had a lawyer who God asked, go to 1 John chapter 2. And I told you he was our advocate. Okay. But not only was he our advocate, what happens in the case, let me get that with you. 1 John chapter 2, what the judge does here, the judge makes an appeal to the attorney. In 1 John, remember 1 John 2 and 1, we find out that Jesus is our lawyer. But in 1 John chapter 2, the Bible lets us know what Jesus did as our attorney. Read, Brother Wayne.
And he is a propitiation for our sins,
mm-hmm.
and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Read.
And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Yeah. Now, the word propitiation means that God allowed our sins to be covered. But God being a righteous judge, somebody got to be punished. You're not just going to go scot-free. God loved us enough that God asked Jesus. He asked the attorney to die for the person he was representing. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
The Bible says that not only did he die for us only, but the Bible says God asked him to die for the whole world. Christ is the means by whom God shows us mercy to the sinner who believes on him through obedience of the gospel. Now, what's the responsibility of the person who Jesus dies for? He said, hereby we do know that we know him if
we keep
his commandments. And he said, he that said, I know him. Yeah, you say, yeah, I know Jesus.
And keepeth not his commandments.
But you don't keep Jesus' commandments.
Is a liar.
You are a liar.
And the truth is not in him.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though Jesus represents us and died for us, if we don't do the commandments of God, then Jesus said through John that you're a liar and the truth is not in us. So, Brother Stroud, how should I live if Christ died for my sins and allowed me to be free? Well, I think Paul did a good point in Galatians 2:20, Brother Wayne. Then I'm going to extend to those that are not Christians. In Galatians 2:20,
I am crucified with Christ.
Now, the first thing I got to realize is that Christ was on that cross for 6 hours. And he suffered for me for 6 hours. Paul wanted the Galatians to have a mindset that you also died. Remember, Christ died for sin, but we have to die to sin. Read.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
Even though I leave the courtroom and the judge now accepts Christ's death on the cross for my sin, Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I,
but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So now, what's the mindset of the person that's been set free? What's the mindset of the one that understands that God, the judge, being a righteous judge, nobody goes free unless somebody punished. So Jesus was the one that he asked the defense attorney, will you do something for your client? What is that, Your Honor? I need you because you're the only one without sin. Everybody else is sin. The only way righteousness can be justified is if the person that dies is righteous and he dies for the sinner. And then Paul says, understanding this, we are to live lives. You say, well, Pastor, I know I haven't been living as God would want me to live. Well, we always got to start somewhere. Yeah, it doesn't matter how we've been living, it's how we're going to live. And that's why Paul said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, and the life, what? Which I now live. He said, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah. So the prosecuting attorney tried to prosecute me. All he wants me to do is to suffer that second death, that spiritual death. All he wants me to do is be eternally lost. But God loved each of us enough. He asked Jesus to die for us. And Paul reminded Galatians, sometimes we need to remember. Sometimes we need to be reminded of why do I go or come Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night? Why do I study the Word of God? Because Christ gave himself. And he asks us to live a certain life. And so, to the Christian who obeyed God and did what God had commanded, now we just got to live the life with the challenges that we're going to be faced. Amen? But if you're a person that's not a Christian, go back to Romans, Brother Wayne. And Paul, we talked about how Paul make mention to the Romans all have sinned and come short of glory of God. But then Paul gives them the remedy to that sin that they have in their lives. And he posed it in a question in Romans 6 and 1. He said, What shall we say then?
Shall we continue in sin?
Yeah.
That grace may abound?
So now I'm talking to you that are here that are not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're not a member of the Lord's church. So what do I do? I'm on trial. You still on trial. And now Jesus did what he had to do for you. Now you have to do something for yourself also. He asked the question, shall we continue sin that grace may abound? And
God
Paul
forbid.
Said, God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer
so
therein?
So Paul simply reminded them of what they had already done. You have to, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Jesus died for sin. You have to die to sin. You say, well, Brother Stroud, how do I die to sin? I'm glad you asked the question. Romans 3 and 4 would answer that for us. Verse 3 and then verse 4. Know ye not.
Know ye not.
Uh-huh.
That so many of you that were baptized into Jesus Christ. Correct?
Were baptized into his death. You good.
Were baptized into his death.
Yeah, so now, what do I do? The Bible says, how do I die to sin? How do I meet what requirements my attorney asked me to do? My attorney said, what you have to do is imitate in your life what I did for you in my life, and that I died, I was buried, I rose again the third day. And he said, so know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ was baptized into his death. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? You heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You have to believe that. That's Romans 4:24. You have to believe that God raised him up. You believe that, you repent of your sins. And remember, when every time we confess, we need to also repent. Amen. Sometimes we can say, I confess my sin, but again, along with confession must be repentance. Amen. Acts 8, verse 22. So we have to repent of our sin. Then we make the confession of what we believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after making that confession, we are baptized, notice in verse 3 of Romans 6, into Jesus Christ. We're also baptized into the death of Christ. And then he said, verse 4, Brother Wayne.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Yeah.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So now, as I close, and you're here this morning, the Bible teaches us that in order for me to be free, I have to do. Remember, 1 John said, if we keep his commandment, the commandment from God is that you be baptized. Mark 16:15-16, that you believe and be baptized. You believe on Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. You make the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Then you're water baptized. And that's why Paul told him, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. So again, we know that when I obey the Lord and I come forward, I make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we will baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sin. You come in contact with the blood of Christ in the water. Amen, somebody. And in Christ, when you rise up, now you're a new creature in Christ, and all the sin that you had done that Jesus died for, the only way you come in contact with being free from those of being justified is if you were water baptized initially for the forgiveness of all your past sin. And that's only done in baptism. And then the Bible says you'll rise up to a newness of life. And then the Lord then will put you, the only church you find in the Bible, Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. If there's someone today that is not a Christian, or you walked away from the Lord and you need to get your life back right, you don't want to face this death penalty. Amen? Each of us are on trial. I think Brother Pledger said in the back, he said, Brother Stroud, all of us are facing the death penalty. Yes, we are. Each one of us. But the penalty we're facing is not, we all going to die. But it's the spiritual death that we don't want to see. If someone would like to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.